Exodus chapter 3. Thank you, Brother Aaron. We love you guys. You are my kid. You know, you're my kids. When you get over 50, everybody's a kid. Praise God. Amen. What a beautiful, beautiful worship service. And we're in the midst of sort of a Daniel's fast, asking God to speak to us and work in us throughout the year. It's kind of the way that we kick off the new year. Exodus chapter 3, I love these verses, verse 13. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? Verse 14. And God said unto Moses, and notice this is in all caps, these next few words, I am that I am. And he said, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am, all caps, hath sent me unto you. Almost every Jewish individual would probably remember this scripture. Through the years, through the centuries. Actually, did you know this? That this expression, I am, was considered so holy, such a holy name, that there were multitudes who refused to even say those words because they felt like, what right do I have to say the most sacred name in the universe? So, understanding that, then we're going to turn to John chapter 8 and thank God for our media people and Sister Gwen. So great to have her back. We've missed her dynamic presentations from the media booth. She's something special, and she's a real techie. Some of us play at it, but she's a real techie. John chapter 8, verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus, verse 58, said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, to show you that they understood what he was intimating, the next verse says, Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. They understood what he was saying. He didn't even put anything to the right of I am before Abraham was. They're saying, you know, you're only 50 years old or less. How could you say that somebody that lived a couple thousand years ago, that you're before them? So to make it even clearer, or, you know, to give them a little explanation, before Abraham was, I am. Does it need to be any clearer than that? Notice he didn't say before Abraham was, I was. Because God doesn't call himself the great I was. Because that would make him a has-been, wouldn't it? The great has-been, I was. You know, he didn't call himself the great I was. He doesn't even call himself the great I will be. Future tense. A lot of folks, they love to live for God, and everything's in a future tense. You know, I won't get blessed now, but I know when I get to heaven, I'll get blessed. You know, I'm not healed now, but I'll get blessed when I'll get healed when I get to the New Jerusalem. Everything's in the future. They're futuristic. They have their God, but his name isn't I am. It's I will be. But he didn't say, my name is I will be. He said, my name is I am. And I don't know how that hits you, but it hits me like real strong. Like he's almost, this is how I feel. He's almost daring me to fill out the blank right next to the word am. I am. So what do you need? See, because whatever it is you need, I am your healing. I am your deliverance. I am your joy. I am your peace. I am your victory. I am your song in the night. I am what I am. Hallelujah. Let's love him right now and praise him and lift him up for a little bit, Lord. Jesus, give us understanding. Give us revelation, Lord. Help us to see in your word something that can help us, Lord. We honor you as the great I am. We worship you. We magnify you. Thank you, Lord, for being present tense in the moment with us here right now. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Oh, clap your hands unto the Lord, all ye people, and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. We serve a mighty God. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. They thought he had in their presence committed blasphemy. He had referred to himself as the I am. Now, this will explain something in your New Testament. Every time Jesus used those two words, I am, in different ways, in his teaching, they got nervous because they knew that that combination of words was the divine name. So when he says, I am the bread of life, it's like, whoa, did he say what I think he said? I heard the bread part, but what was that part before the bread? See, it's not just the bread, it's what happens to you before you get to the bread. He says, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. And they hear the word light, but before you get to light, you got the I am business. And the Jews knew what that was a reference to. So in his boldness, in his unapologizing ways, he kept leaving tidbits like Hansel and Gretel. You know, he kept leaving little tidbits to show them who he was. Because knowing, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God in Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent, John 17, verse 3. Knowing him is eternal life. And if we don't really know him or know who he is, then maybe we're not fully born again yet. Or at least we're not walking in the revelation that God wants us to have of him. This is one of my favorite ones when he says, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Every time he used that term, I am, the Jews would get nervous because they knew it was a reference to God himself. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. The Bible says in Colossians 2 verse 9, for in him, referring to Jesus, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. If you've got all the fullness of the Godhead housed bodily in Christ Jesus, how much of God is there left over? Just a thought. It's just a thought. Woo. You know, I've heard stuff like this. Well, I pray 15 minutes to the Father, and I pray 15 minutes to the Son, and I pray 15 minutes to the Holy Spirit. I don't want either one of those, any of them, to get jealous of the other one. But when you know that all three are one, I'm a Father, I'm a Son, and I'll use an H word, not Holy Ghost, but I'm a husband. I'm a Father, I'm a Son, and I'm a husband. How many are there of me? Jesus said in John 10:30, I and my Father are one. How about this John chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word, capital W, and the Word was God, verse 14, and the Word, capital W, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus was the Word made flesh. Hallelujah. I'm glad I know who He is. He's not just one third of the Godhead. All the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily in Him. That's why when He spoke, devils trembled. Diseases disappeared. It was the Creator housed in flesh that was talking. Come on, let's make merry in the house of the Lord. We have, by the grace of God, some understanding. So, I want to make a special observation that should be horrendously practical. If I said, "And who are you?" If I said to this beautiful grandniece of mine, "And who are you?" She would probably say, "I am Andriana the First." No. If I pointed to Brother Dinkins, and who are you? He would say, "What would you say? Brother Dinkins, run up here real quick. He's my guy. I'm telling you, he's an amazing man. And who are you?"
Robert Stephen Dinkins.
What would you say? Anything before that?
No.
I am
Robert Stephen Dinkins.
You're introducing yourself. You don't just go, "Robert Stephen Dinkins." You go, "Hey, when you get to me, I'm Mike Meadows. This is I am.
Robert Stephen Dinkins.
I am.
I am a slow learner.
All teasing aside, this is a brilliant man standing next to me. Now, what I want him and you all and all of us to see is you have to say the divine name before you get to your name. Whoa, man. God so designed language that we can't hardly carry on a conversation without putting God in the sentence. Come on now. They were going to stone him when he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Hallelujah. He was trying to help them understand he was not just one third of the Trinity. He was not just a nice person, a rabbi become a teacher, but he was the fullness of the Godhead housed in a house of clay called a body. Come on now. That's why you cast out devils in the name of Jesus. You pray over the sick in the name of Jesus. You tell the devil where to get off in the name of Jesus. Magnify the Lord and let us exalt His name together. Woo! So, when you say, "I am discouraged," you need to be careful, because you put a bad word next to God's name. I am who is I am. And that if you put a negative word next, I'm just telling you, sometimes we don't know what we do because we don't study syntax and we don't study grammar and we don't understand the makeup of things, the structure of things. But this God said, when you go and tell Israel that I've called you to be a leader, you tell them I am, have sent you. He was trying to give Moses a revelation on his name. And we take that expression and we throw it around loosely and we stick anything in there next to it. And much of the time, it's negative, but I don't know about you, but I don't want to put negative words next to God's name. See, when you say, I am mad, I'm going to let you do a little deducing. Do you really want that word next to his name? Can anybody follow me? But if you say, I am healed. See, the Bible says in Joel 3 verse 10, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the weak, you might be, you know, factually, statistically weak, but you have the audacity to claim his strength. Let the weak say, I am, and you honor God, and then you put right to the right of his name the word strong. Let the weak say, I am strong. Then God, I could say it this way, is lovingly obligated to release to you that which you said you have after you introduced his name. Man, that makes me want to be careful how I talk. I am tired. Hold it. I'd rather say, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalms 27:1. He is the strength of my life. Don't insult God by putting next to his name something that doesn't live up to the regal name that comes before it. It's just a way of thinking. I want him to be pleased with our speech. So, now, what's happening here is, it's beautiful. His name is literally woven not only into the fabric of existence, his name is woven into our language structures. You can't hardly say a sentence or build a paragraph, speak a paragraph without referring to God several times according to the scriptures we read. I am strong. I am healed. I am quickened. I wish you could get used to putting God's name next to stuff like that. I am quickened. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. That's Romans 8:11. You are quickened. Brother Mike, we're still joking about the energy shot. He'd had a busy day, hectic day. These guys work hard. Derek and Mike work in an area that's hard work. Long hours. They get up really early. And it's not easy work. And we were going to catch each other one day a few weeks ago. And he had mentioned that he'd had a real hectic day. And so I brought an energy shot with me. And I set it down in front of him. Now, he tells me that I told him to drink the whole thing. I don't remember saying that, but I do remember that I said, take some and then tell me if you feel a difference. And he'd never admit that he felt any difference. So I said, well, take a little more. I get this text. Pastor, I couldn't sleep till 2:30 in the morning. Not good. Then I felt the conviction of God. Help me, Jesus. What did I do to my man? Lord, I train wrecked him. Hallelujah. Well, you know, I would say, how are you doing? And instead of, you know, I feel better. I felt kind of perked. It sort of like it didn't look like it was registering. So I just had him keep taking another sip. And all of a sudden, after a while, he was quickened. He's so quick and he couldn't go to bed for several hours. Normally goes to bed at 8 something, I think, which is, you know, bedtime for 8 years old. But anyway, you know, it's early. Let's say that it's early. But when you get up at 2, it's probably late. But he got quickened. You know what? God wants to bring a quickening on us. He wants to bring a quickening on the church. Hallelujah. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. I wish we could walk through this week and shout in faith, I am quickened. Praise God. He is the King of I Ams. And even in our speech, in our language structures, he somehow, it's all designed so that we bring him up first before we bring us up. Why is that so? Why must you first say his name, I Am, before yours? And the reason is because your existence flows out of his existence. He is the self-existent one. He is the author, and he always writes bestsellers. He's the creator. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. And he comes first. And this is a simple thought, but it's so hard for some of us to master this. Because he's second, or he's third, or he's fourth, or he's somewhere else down the line. But he's not first, so we can't figure out why our existence isn't quite right. But it's only right when he comes before us. When he comes first. When he's at the head of the line and not at the tail end of the line. All of life is designed for God to come first. Hallelujah. Before your family, before your finances, before your house, your home, your car, he comes before all things. As a matter of fact, there is a beautiful verse of scripture, Acts 17:28, and it says this, for in him we live and move and have our being. Isn't that beautiful? As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. So in him, you see, in him we live, in him we move. I move in his movings. I live in his living. That's why you have trouble. You're trying to do it on yourself. He's out in the perimeter. He's out riding, you know, sitting on the fence, and you got everything else in the center. He doesn't want to be the suburb Jesus. He wants to be the downtown God. Come on now. Your existence never is right. Nothing seems to go right because he comes before you do. I am the resurrection. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. He must come before us. I am happy. But before I get to happy, I start with God. Does any of this make sense? Now, I meet so many precious people. I really enjoy people. I could just wander around Walmart, you know, and just love on people. Seriously, my wife will say, did you? She'd see me talking to folks, you know. She'd say, did you know them? I said, no, I just met them. See some Latinos. ¿Cómo están esta tarde? How are you this afternoon? All of a sudden, 6 friends, and I did it all in Spanish. Hallelujah. For in him, we live and move. What we do, you know what we do? We put God on the cleanup committee and not on the planting committee. We let him sit on the cleanup committee, but we don't put him on the planning committee. And many of the folks that I meet, and all of them teach me things. Everybody teaches me stuff, and I really, really get high just being around people. But a lot of folks in our generation are very confused, and I'm going to tell you why. Because they've never understood the principle of I am. I am. Paul said, what I am by the grace of God. You don't put God somewhere else in the sentence or later in the paragraph. You start with the I am. Just like God instructed Moses to do. Does that make a little bit of sense? You are not here by accident. You are not here. I am not here by accident. There is a way. There is a great need. And there is a way to uncover his purposes. But it starts with putting him in the rightful place in the sentence and in your heart. This church building, we're sort of wrapping up a renovation. But how about a renovation of our hearts? How about going for broke and having a renovation of our attitudes? How about having a renovation of our inward person? How about the interior decorator moving on the inside and bringing his beauties? He doesn't want to be the third or the fourth consideration. Everything. What does it say here in Colossians 1:17? Would you throw that up, Sister Gwen? What a simple little verse. And he is before all things. He is before all things. I am strong. I am blessed. I am victorious. I am healed. I am well. I'm in his will. All of that puts him at the beginning. Hallelujah. But watch this. And he is before all things, and by him all things. See that word consist? I'm going to tell you about the Greek word, okay? By him all things consist. It literally means coheres. What does that mean? That means he is the glue that holds everything together. So when he, oh wow, when he is before, he's before your finances, he's before your relatives, he's before your neighbor. God bless all of them. We love them. God bless them all. He's before your neighbors. He's before your pain. He's before your sickness. He's before your problems. He's before your valleys. He's before your mountains. He is before all things. He's before your questions. He's before your confusion. He's before your struggles. Before all of that, he is before all things. When he is put before all things, he becomes the super glue of life. Raise your hands and let's love on him. If you would with me, in Jesus' name, who couldn't use some spiritual super glue? Who couldn't use something to pick up the broken shards, the broken pieces of your heart and life? Who couldn't use some glue that comes from heaven? Hallelujah. You tell them, not I was. Not the great has been. Not I will be some futuristic savior. You tell them I am. That I am. Listen to this. When they came to get him in the garden, do you remember what he said to them? 600, there was like a Roman, like a Roman cohort. Roughly 600 soldiers. Roughed up. If you've ever studied the Roman Empire, they were famous for their brutality. They came to apprehend him in the garden. And he said, "Whom seek ye?" Because Judas was leading the band, right? They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And read what it says in John 18. He said, "I am he." But if you look at it in the Bible, where it records the story, the "he" is in italics. All he said was, Lisa, all he said was, "I am. Whom seek ye, Jesus of Nazareth?" And he says, "I am." And all of a sudden, 600 Roman soldiers, known for their masculinity, their strength, and even their brutality, are thrown to the ground when he utters two words, "I am." Hallelujah. When's the last time? When's the last time you used the name of Jesus on the devil? When's the last time you used God's name on the enemy? When's the last time you took a hold of that name? I'm opening this altar. I wish you could run down here and run into the healer. He is the healer of all diseases. He is the deliverer, the chain breaker. He is the great I am. He is the king of I ams. He is the self-existent one. And your purpose in your life is only manifested when he comes before you. Hallelujah. Wonderful God. Would you lift your hands and magnify him? Would you give him praise? He's the worthy one. He's the great God. He's the Savior. He's the healer. We magnify you, Lord. Would you magnify him with me? Lord, I am that I am. I am that I am. You know what I believe he did, David? I believe that prophetically, he reached back hundreds of years before. He knew that it says in Exodus 3, 13 and 14, Moses, sent by God and called his name, "I am that I am." I believe that God was prophesying several hundred years into the future, looking down into the Garden of Gethsemane. And when he said, "I am that I am," I believe in telescopic faith, he was reaching into the future to say, "When those boys come for me, and I utter these words, I am he," or "I am." God was saying to Moses, "I am that I am. I am the I am here. I am the I am," in John 18. Oh, praise God. When you have a revelation on this, you can shake hell and give devils migraines. There is a name above all names. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4 verse 12, King James Version. He's got a saving name. Make some, now would you be bold enough to make some bold statements? I am blessed. I am. I'm touched by God. I'm blessed by God. I am victorious. I am victorious. I am victorious. I am well. I am strong. Let the weak say, "I am." It's God. I am strong. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus' name. Put him first in everything. Let everything flow out of him. Let everything begin with him. Let him be the first of everything. That's the key to understanding your purposes, because your existence, my existence, flows out of his. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. I am quickened. I am well. I am overcoming. I am blessed. Oh, yeah. Would you praise him now for a few moments? Oh, what an awesome God, the self-existent one, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. In Jesus' name, What an awesome God. What an awesome God.